So have you guys started school yet?
No.
Now, next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you started school yet, Shania?
Not yet.
So, what's the easiest part of school? Math, what's the easiest part of school for you?
Recess.
Math, recess, yes. Recess is good. How about you?
Recess.
Recess. What is the hardest part of school for you? Spanish. That would be the hardest part for me too, I think. What about you?
Italian.
Italian, okay. That's the hardest part. Those other languages, they're hard. Because our brains just don't want to move in those directions sometimes.
I guess Spanish.
You think so, Spanish too? All right, so when my kids were little, do you know what the hardest part of lunch was for them? It was lunch. The hardest part of school was lunch. Because we moved a lot. And they didn't have anyone to sit with because they didn't know anybody when they got to school. So we had a conversation about hospitality. Do you know what hospitality, it's a big word. How many hospitality, 5 syllables. What do you think hospitality is?
Hospitality means that you sit with somebody at lunch, you sit with somebody at the table.
Even though you don't know that you're welcoming, right? Welcoming. So we talked about how they could offer hospitality and have people to sit with. And we talked about there are cool places to sit in a lunchroom and the not cool places to sit in a lunchroom. And if you go to a big school, I know you guys go to a little school, but in a big school there's definitely the cool places and the uncool places. And so we talked about picking the most uncool place and sitting there and then looking for others to whom they could offer hospitality. And so they invited other people who looked kind of lost and kind of lonely to sit with them and created their own group of lost people. And then they had, through hospitality, they created friendships. Jesus, both of our stories are about hospitality and how we create hospitality. If we try to get in the most cool places and push other people aside, that's not hospitality, is it? And if we don't welcome people, then we're not being offering hospitality either. One of our lessons today from Hebrews said that when we offer hospitality, we are entertaining angels. And angels are special people. Angels teach us things about God. When we offer hospitality, we learn things about God. So you can go back to your seats. Have a great week next week, and bring your backpacks so we can bless them and give them backpack tags next week.
Child, I just want to be a blessing to others. That's all I want for my life, is to be a blessing to others. Emily Towns, a Yale Divinity School professor, writes that she can remember her grandmother saying these words many, many times. Like me, over the years, Dr. Towns has struggled to understand blessing. Because blessing is all tangled up with God's grace and mercy. There is very little that seems rational or predictable about blessing. When Dr. Towns was a little girl, she believed that blessing was something that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit did on a regular basis to good little girls and boys. You had to mind your elders, work hard in school, share your toys, and learn to pray really hard for your family and friends. If you did all these things, then you would receive whatever you asked for from God. This was blessing. Not many years passed before Dr. Towns' Santa Claus notion of God's blessing eroded. No matter how good she was or how hard she prayed for the president to simply declare an end to racist behavior and thereby settle the race problem in the United States in the 1960s, Emily Towns did not receive God's blessing. As Towns grew into adulthood, she understood that blessing was more complex, more elusive, and more special than she had ever, ever imagined. She became aware of the high demand her grandmother placed on her own life and witness in order to be a blessing to those around her. When Towns went to seminary, she learned just how much her grandmother understood about the deep theological meaning of blessing. In our gospel lesson from Luke, Jesus is doing more than attempting to be the Emily Post or Miss Manners of ancient Palestine. This is not some ask Amy answer to etiquette questions plaguing the Pharisees or Jesus' disciples. Jesus is teaching about blessing. In Luke's gospel, there are more references to eating, banquets, tables, reclining at tables than there are in any other gospel. One of my professors said if he were to go back and be in a gospel, he'd want to be in Luke because they're eating all the time. Makes one wonder if Luke was hungry when he was writing. Rather, food, feasting, and act as literary devices in the gospel to signal us. They are eating again. We better pay attention. To even begin to grasp Jesus' teaching on blessing here, I needed to understand a bit more about the context. Food and feasting have been mentioned, so we better dig deeper. Some knowledge of the customs around feasts in ancient Palestine is helpful. At feasts, the male guests reclined on couches made out of piled cushions. The center of the couch was the cool place, the place of honor. Those who sat in the middle or close to the middle were those of wealth, power, or office. The closer you were to the middle of the couch, the more blessed you were. If a prominent man arrived late to the banquet, as prominent men are often wont to do, someone of lesser rank had to move away from the place of honor to make room. In the context of this story in Luke's gospel is also helpful information. Just a few verses before this passage, someone asks Jesus, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" Just how exclusive is this Kingdom of God club you are recruiting for? Generally, people who ask questions like, "Will only a few be saved?" are secure in their sense of being among those on the invitation list and are simply wondering who they will have to tolerate in heaven. Instead of answering this question directly, Jesus replies, "Then people will come from east and west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God." Jesus makes this kingdom of God sound like the kind of club that all of us could get into. Many Jews of Jesus' day imagined the end of human earthly existence as a great banquet. And some groups had definite ideas about who would be invited. When scholars unrolled the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found some books of the Bible, including Hosea and Jeremiah. In a portion of the scrolls known as the Messianic Rule, they also found what one group of scholars believed to be the invitation list for the great banquet. All wise men of the congregation, the learned and the intelligent, men whose way is perfect and men of ability, the men of renown. That is who is blessed enough to be invited. Those specifically off the list include no man smitten in his flesh or paralyzed in his feet or hands, or blind or deaf, no old and tottery man, unable to stay away and stay still in the midst of the congregation, none of these shall come. While modern synagogues and churches attempt to read the scriptures inclusively, this ancient guest list was intended to be exclusive. At this banquet, there is no room for women, for the blind or the lame, the blemished or the scarred. There is no room for those who have been wounded for life, no room for those who have been broken on the journey. Only men of renown are worthy of this blessing. I don't think Jesus envisioned the kingdom of God as a stag party. Jesus spoke of people coming from east and west and north and south. All people are worthy of God's blessing. When Jesus saw the guests at the banquet scrambling to take the seats of honor, he tried to tell them that there is nothing we can do to make ourselves more worthy of God's blessing, grace, and mercy. Jesus also wants us to understand that our all too human drive to seek out the place of honor, the best seat in the house or at the party, does not mark us as recipients of God's blessing. Only God, our heavenly host, determines the guest list and says to us, friend, move up higher. As Emily Towne's grandmother so clearly understood, we cannot earn blessing, and our good fortune should not be understood as evidence of God's blessing. We can, however, participate in God's blessing when we seek to be blessing to others. For Jesus, extending genuine hospitality to the least of these through acts of unselfish kindness can wash God's blessing on us and give us a sense of the great blessing that is to come in God's heavenly kingdom. This is about more than welcoming everyone and anyone here at St. John's. This is about making everyone feel blessed, beloved, and at home in creation. Sounds impossible, but Jesus never expected us to do this all on our own. God's call into relationship is always a call into community. As a community, we pool our resources to support the food pantry and fill school bags in service to those who have been wounded by life. As a community, we reach out to those among us who have been battered and broken on the journey. In community, we discover what blessing can be. And in community, we know ourselves to be beloved and blessed by God.
Mercy, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers. peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness. And bring forth in us the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray to you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupation of our life, we may not forget you, but maybe may remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We now pray for the Tarpley, Carter, and Britt families, Paul, Dana, Deborah, Rashad, Tony, Lois, Erica, Autumn, Elizabeth, Lynn, Faith, Geneva, Catherine, and Jim, Tony Carter, Connie Duncan, the Golson family, Charles Gunter, Erlen Howard, Thomas and Gordon James, the Murphy family, Lana Neal, and Mitch Matera. I invite you now to name those for whom you care to pray. Also for the families of those murdered in yesterday's mass shooting, and for the people of Midland, Texas. Let us again pray together. Almighty God,
Father,